Hey guys, it's Friday, and you know what time it is. It's time for the Retro Buzz, and we are one man of our official cast, if you will, short this week, but Glenn and I are going to hold the fort down. Cool Toy, we're going to wish him well on his vacation. He's probably going to have a lot of cool goodies to show us, Glenn, when he gets back. But we've got Glenn, plant a tomato, plant a motto.
Yeah, I was just getting my... I should have did this before because Doug is going out there, so I should put this on.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, yeah, we got my Star Wars. That's why he's going out there. My little Star Wars years going on here. He abandoned us, but I guess I can understand taking his wife to Disney. This thing's falling off my head. So I hope him and his wife a safe trip.
Yes, absolutely.
To Florida. And if any of you people are down in Florida at Disneyland, you know, Cool Toy's down there. You know, just look for the light. He's almost like those princesses. You know, the light kind of comes down, the birds kind of follow him, and they all talk and chatter as they go along. So when Cool Toy's there, just look for the little animals running to somebody. I guarantee you it's going to be Cool Toy.
Well, before we introduce our guest, Glenn, I know you have a major announcement with your Kickstarter. You had, 40,000? I think it was, 40,000 you wanted to get to make this yoke happen. But you didn't get 40,000. You didn't get 45,000. No. Glenn, how much did you end up getting when it was all said and done?
Well, originally, it actually was 30,000.
Oh, 30,000.
And 30,000. But at the end of the day, we end up raising $55,556. So
wow.
I want to thank everyone out there for backing it. And again, what surprised me more than anything was not just the end users, the people buying it, but actually other companies backing the project. And I can't thank them enough. We've already... begun some little small redesigns. We're trying to make this as accurate as we can do it. And I'm hoping everyone's going to be really excited come July. Again, the only problem we're having right now, which a lot of companies in China are having, is because of the coronavirus. I'm not sure if it's not affecting us yet, but it's manufacturing, you know. So we're hoping we're going to stay on schedule for July.
Awesome. Well, you know, congratulations again, Glenn. I mean, it's well-deserved. You are the godfather here in the arcade industry. So it's great to see you finally making some headways with some of your dreams to come. I'm excited to see him coming out. I can't wait to see that.
I'm very glad to hear you say that and pay homage to me. It's very good.
Well, I was told that if I didn't do that, Negan was going to come out, and I didn't. I really didn't. It was in my email, so I'm making sure that I'm staying on script here.
So, yeah, he's been pretty quiet lately, which is kind of good.
Well, we started kicking around, and we were like, dang, man, you know, Cool Toy's not going to be on here. And the other guest that we had, he had something come up with his daughter that he had to go to. And we were like, we need a bombshell guest. We need somebody to come on here that's going to blow the roof off the place. And you somehow, you introduced me to this gentleman. You somehow did it. And without further ado, we have John Wagner John was here. From Wagner, what is this? Oh, there he is.
TK421, take off your helmet. TK421.
We've got having a little fun here on a Friday night. Here we've got John Wagner from Wagner's Tech Talk joining us. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
If you guys haven't heard of John, go over to his website over at wagnerstechtalk.com. Yes, he actually has a website because I've been after Glenn. I have a website. You have a website. John, tell him how important it is to have a website.
It's pretty important. It does help because there's a lot of things that sometimes you can put in your videos that you really want to kind of supplement it kind of after the fact because you can't go back and edit your videos very well. it's good to have a website.
Well, you know, it's great to have you here, and we want to get into...
Have one. It was on GeoCities. What happened to GeoCities? It was all on there.
All right. To be fair, Glenn does have a website. I helped him start it. We weren't going to say anything.
Oh, let's see.
But Glenn, it's got some work to be done, right?
Well, anything I have always has work to be done.
So I think you guys all need to spend some time this week because I helped Glenn get this going here a little bit. You need to tell Glenn he needs to get this going and get this up. It takes some time. I also have to get some time to show him. But it's a start, right? It's a start. Right?
That's great to see.
It's getting there. I mean, Wagner's also been, John's also been trying to get on me as well. to do that for a while. He's actually gotten on me for a lot of things I still haven't done, but it's all, it's just time. You know, we get 24 hours, just not enough time.
But you guys need to tell Glenn how much you'd love to see his content on his website in the next coming months. You got to see it. I mean, it's just, it's awesome, especially with the news that we saw today. There was a video out there, and I and correct me if I'm wrong, was it My Family's Arcade? He was the one that dropped it?
I believe it was, yeah. He had an interview with him at the Toy Fair. Unfortunately, I was going to go, and I did not make it, typical for me. But he did, and Scott was there, and he had a little interview, and he did ask him a couple of questions. One was, what's it going to go for? And Scott actually did give a pretty direct answer.
Yeah, I mean, Scott came out and told him flat out, $500. $500 is what they're, because originally, remember, we were hearing what, $500 to $600 was, and that's not to say that there's not going to be like specialty versions, right? You know, Arcade 1-Up, they do specialty versions of, like, maybe they'll come out with one that comes with a stool. I don't know, but maybe that's why he said $500 to $600, but he seems pretty rock solid on that $500 price point.
It's amazing to hit the kind of price point. I know it's a smaller virtual pin. You know, it's not like the full size pins, but even hit that price point with the feedback. We're talking about putting in your solenoids, so you feel the ball hitting around in there. That's just stuff you don't really see, especially in that price point. He's gonna have a fairly nice size screen. Have a DMD screen in the back. I wasn't down there, but Cool Toy and Retro Ralph did get their hands on it, and P-Dubs got their hands on it, and said it felt good. You know, the legs were adjustable.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of things to throw in there for that price point, and I'm still got my eyes peeled to see how they're gonna pull it off, because it's supposed to have no lag. Again, Cool Toy had tried it and played very well, so it's very interesting indeed.
What do you think, John?
Now, how are you gonna find a clear plastic bag big enough to cover it?
Ooh.
Oh, I'll find a bag. Don't you worry. The bigger problem is where we're gonna put five of them.
Okay.
That's the harder problem.
That's the problem for everybody, right? Everybody's got all these cabinets and all these, I mean, now people are, you know, being picky about it, like what cabinets they're going to get.
Well, the good thing is these pinballs are going to have more than 3 or 4 games. They're going to have like 10 to 12 games on it. So, I mean, they're going to have a Bally version. They're going to have a Disney Star Wars version. And they're hinting at a couple other versions as well. So I think the Bally one would be kind of nice. I mean, Star Wars games I do like, but I think I would like maybe go more towards a Bally Midway style pinballs just because of diversity. And then this way I don't have to look at the new Star Wars on half of my machine. I don't like that new Star Wars at all.
So
no secret.
So in some other news too, like last week we did a show, we talked about coin ops, and obviously coming from guys that are just kind of getting into it, we started playing with it because of the Legends Ultimate, and I by no means am an expert in any of that. But one of the things that I complained about, and I know Glenn, we talked about, and Doug talked about, is the configuration aspect of it. We kind of went into a little bit of that and how challenging that can be. I talked with some of the folks from CoinOps this week, and they said in the next update or the update after that, there is going to be in the CoinOps next an easier way to configure everything to leave games. That is something they're willing to come on the show to kind of talk about some of that stuff, because obviously we have no clue what we're talking about with it. So, I'll say I have no clue what I'm talking about when it comes to some of this stuff, but I did want to find out for the audience. I wanted them to get actual information from the company about it, because, you know, like we always say, if we don't know, we'll find somebody that does know. And so hopefully we can get them on if that comes out and they can kind of explain, because I know a lot of you guys now with the Legends update, the firmware update, and I'll let Glenn talk a little bit about that. Now you can use a USB cable, which some of these guys that don't have a powerful PC or a graphics card can now use a USB cable. They're doing the front end with the At Games Legends. So did you get to play with that, Glenn?
I got the firmware down, and it's, of course, you know, I have days where nothing's happening, and then other days where like 5 things hit me at once. I'm working on a video now for Al Link. I actually got his light up marquee. So I was in the middle of now doing that video when they shot down the firmware last night. So that's something I'm planning to do this weekend. A few people have tried it. It seems to work pretty well. Again, it works pretty much the same as the Bluetooth connection. The only difference is there's really no lag at all. I mean, when we were playing each other, we were doing like turtles and stuff over the Bluetooth. There was a very minor lag. It really wasn't much. But now we're going over a USB A to A cable type of connection to the board. There shouldn't be any lag at all. So I haven't had much time on it. Actually, haven't had any time on it. But the setup looks fairly simple and straightforward. And it's a feature people have been asking for quite some time. And it just shows goes to show, once again, that AtGames is in the community. They're listening to the community. And they're importing a lot of these features. Even Cool Toy with his Fire Stick. You know, how many people think about doing that? He suggested it. AtGames goes, you know what? Yeah, we could do that. And they threw it in there. What I'm waiting for is for them to basically put something like this guy right here. If we can get this connected to our Legends
machine,
there
you go.
We'll be all set. Now, this just so people just watching right now, this is actually a free 3D printed OpenCade by John from Wagner's Tech Talk. On his page, he actually has a way for you guys to print these. And you can see you put your own controls in here, and they're modular. So you can put
Wait. I thought that was the Legends Gamer.
Oh,
you got an advanced copy of it. No, I'm kidding. We're having some fun here.
And they sent the advanced Wagner steering wheel attachment to it to put on there as well. Wagner is very, very good. If people don't know his stuff, he does reviews on his web channel as well as on his website. But he also has this OpenCade project, which is basically you can 3D print these different modules for different things. So he'll talk about it more himself. He's even got my Tron joystick done into one. But they're very solid. And if you have a 3D printer or know someone who does, this is something that's a really neat little project, and it's very modular.
We're going to dig into that because we want to talk with you about that. And you've got some different guides and books to go with that as well. Now, Nick in the chat room says, hey, Steve, are you going to do a video on the Legend stuff? Probably. I just didn't get my cable yet because I was, like Glenn stated, I'm using the software, the Arcade Link, and it works great. So I really didn't really need to do that, but I think I'm going to do it just to see the difference because I know Travis, who I respect since you introduced me to him, he states he's getting better quality, and that's kind of where my head went, ooh, instant quality. Okay, yeah, maybe I do want to do this. So my cable comes
tomorrow. And it's not a regular USB cable, in case people are out there thinking about it. You have a USB style A port on your laptop, and there's USB A ports on the Legends Ultimate. So you basically need a double USB A cable. And of course, I have them. I've made them. They're not hard to make if you have a soldering iron. But you do have to purchase that cable. They're inexpensive. Because they're not a normal
cable.
You don't generally go from an A style connector like that to another one.
But Glenn, I also found out if you have a USB C on your computer, if you have a USB C input, you could take the USB mail or A as you call it out to USB C into your PC. If you have one of those from like a cell phone, I don't on my PC unfortunately, but. You can.
So is that USB 3.0 or 2.0?
It's 2.0.
Well, it doesn't matter as far as that goes. The cable is just a double male. I'm going to go grab one right now just so I can show people what we're talking about.
You grab that, but I want to, while he's grabbing that, I want to show you guys. So this week we've been busy while Glenn's going to get that. I got us, a lot of you guys have been asking about merchandise. A lot of you guys have been asking about podcast. We wanted to get everything narrowed down. I wanted to get everything narrowed down with video and audio before we decided to upload anything to iTunes or any of that. This week was the launch. If you guys are interested and you catch half of the show or you want to go back and watch other shows, you can subscribe to this. We have both a video version. As you'll notice, this is the video version. It doesn't say audio only on the podcast art. But if you search in your favorite podcast catcher, whether it be Apple iTunes, whether it be Google Play, Spotify, Pandora, Deezer, Anchor, I mean, there's a ton of them out there. I think I've put us into like 15 or 20 different platforms that are out there. So whatever it is, if you want the audio only, you're driving to work, you missed the show Friday night, and I understand people have lives, it's Friday night, you didn't get to watch us live. Yeah, they're not like us. And you want to listen to it without the video, you can go back and download it on your favorite podcast option. We also have the Roku app. You can watch, if you search the Tech Buzz Network or the Tech Buzz on your Roku, you can download that. Also, Fire TV, same thing. We are getting the Roku app updated to kind of fit more of the RetroBuzz theme. So that should happen in the next couple months. You'll be able to also watch a previous episode or watch live like you can now with the Roku app. So just bear with us. We finally got Glenn situated here. So I'm just kidding. He's just an easy target tonight.
I am. Here's the, just in case people need to see, this is the cable. So it's just basically a double male on both sides type of cable. And you need to connect one end to your PC and then one to, I think you said it was only the left USB port will work. The other one will not.
Yep.
So once you do that, you go into the settings. And I think we got to change the setting in there to OTB?
OTG.
Right? Connector?
OTG.
OTG. OTG.
You know how I remember that? Old tech guy.
That's a good way to remember.
Of course.
OTG, old tech guy.
But it's something I want to try out. But right now, I got to say, I've been messing with Al Link's active display, and I freaking love it. So I started working on it and had to go to help my neighbor out yesterday. So I didn't finish it. So this weekend, I'm going to put it in and do a video on it. But it looks really, really nice. And I've been talking a lot with At Games as well, because there's an API for it, which is an application programming interface. And they weren't sure if they wanted to do it, but I think they're convinced that this would be a nice thing to add to the At Games Legends. So they're going to probably work on it. So as you select a game on that machine, the top will then, you know, change for the game on there as well. And of course, it also works with Arcade 1-Up. It works with, I think, CoinOps. So
yes.
I was talking to Al about that yesterday, and he's pretty sure he has it working in CoinOps, but it works and also in Lunchbox, Big Box, any other pretty much emulator thing you have. So
What about Toy Box?
I think it actually works in my Toy Box. I mean, it's here. But I will say the quality is really, really good, but it's also I don't want to say complicated, but you have to definitely take your time setting it up. Once it's set up, it should be rock solid. The other cool thing he added is now it supports a DMD. So if you're doing like a virtual pinball, his screen will now become the DMD for the pinball machine. And that is going to look really good on the machine, Arcade 1-Up or an At Games machine or whatever. That's a huge selling point. So I'll have a video on that one soon.
Awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
Now, let's turn our attention to our guest of honor. We want to try to get some news out before
we get
into this.
I forgot he was here.
Yeah, no, he's been jumping in, man. Come on. So, John, for those that don't know who you are, tell them a little mm-hmm. bit about yourself, how you got into this whole spiel, and what you're doing. I know you've got a lot of cool stuff you're doing with arcade mods and things like that. So the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I guess probably about 2 years ago, I was talking to a gentleman, John, over at You Do It, and posted a video, and he looked at it on Facebook, which is where I originally posted the video. He said, "Dude, you really need to get on YouTube." And I thought about it for a little while. I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to dedicate, you know, the time and effort to do that. So on the next project, I went ahead and decided to try and record it. And I did, and it was kind of fun, you know, trying to figure out the editing software and that kind of stuff. And so I posted a video and just kind of got hooked on it at that point. I started with arcade machines. I found an arcade cabinet. It was completely empty. Found it on the side of the road. Well, actually, it was by a dumpster, and brought it home, and my son and I went to work on it and rebuilt the entire cabinet. I still have it in the game room today, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, that's kind of how I got started. And then I just kept going, you know, taking another video one at a time, and started trying to come up with something that I think people might enjoy. And, you know, sometimes you succeed, sometimes you don't.
That's hard to do these days. You always get those people.
Yep. But it's been fun. I really enjoy doing it. And I like trying to help people learn something new, something that they haven't tried. And I learned something new in the process.
So with what you're doing more or less a lot of mods more than anything, right? You're doing mods to like handhelds, to arcades, to what Glenn showed earlier, right?
A little bit. I kind of mix it up. Sometimes I'll do a review on a product, or I might do a modification, like I did one yesterday. I released a video yesterday on the RG350 mod. I didn't create the 3D models or anything. I purchased it, modified it, and made a video about how to do it. But some of the stuff I have created myself, like the OpenCAD that Glenn mentioned at the beginning. So when I do stuff like that, I typically provide, well, I've always provided it free online for anyone else who's interested in doing the same. And that's just something that I like doing.
Glenn, I mean, this is something you and I we talked about when we started doing this, and we talked with Doug about we wanted to bring people in from the YouTube community that we both seen, mainly in this space that you've seen, that are making an impact, making a difference in the way we are doing things. And John's doing that. I mean, he's creating things that
Correct.
you're using and other people are using. I think it's great to showcase that. I mean, what kind of brought you into meeting John? I mean, what was it that grabbed her? Did he reach out to you?
He actually, I received an IM one day saying that he had some of my parts and he was building this 3D OpenCAD and he wanted to send me one. And I took a look at it and it looked really, really neat. And he sent it to me and it is. I mean, I have a 3D printer and I talked to him about it a couple of times. I can print the best string mesh you ever want to see. I think I made two little owls that came out pretty good. After that, it's just a mess. So John sent them over, and they're really nice. And two things I really love about it. One, it's open source. So if you can take it, you can modify it, make changes to it. But if you want to make something very custom, you can do that. And the kits are very easy. When you print them, the holes for all the items are already there for a Raspberry Pi, or just make an external USB controller. You have options of using like my style controls or any kind of controller. And you can make it as big or small, one or two player, anything that you want to do with it. And I thought that was a really interesting idea. I know on Thingiverse, a lot of people make all these different types of things, but he's making something where it's very modular and you can add or subtract to it as you need it. And you can make it all inclusive, almost like like the at games a gamer device or a Pandora's box, or just make it a controller for something else. And he's also a great guy. He's helpful. He's always in the community throwing out ideas. And the like I said, the 3D prints, like this thing here, we were talking about it, and he's like, "Oh, I could probably do a steering wheel." And my spinner, he made this steering wheel for it. And then this steering wheel, you may be seeing it also on the Legends Ultimate. That's the gentleman who made it. Modified John's original design here for the Glenn's Retro Show spinner. So his stuff's even going well beyond his own thoughts of the way things are going. And he's always in the community. He's always doing reviews. He's got a lot of these little handhelds. What was that last review that you really liked? That the new gaming portable. I forgot what it was.
The RG350.
The RG350, right. So he does things like that. He's constantly reaching out to me. He's like, "Listen, check this out, check this out." And they're all good stuff. I mean, like Travis Tech Talks, Wagner's right there with him. Great ideas, great personality, and he's making great stuff for the community.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that.
I'll take the $20 in the mail later. It's no big deal. PayPal me.
And P Dubs, that sure beats our little idea of the PVC and the Wii steering wheel. No, Travis will be joining us at some point too. Yeah.
Awesome. One thing I'd like to say is what really prompted me originally to contact Glenn and at least mention OpenCAD to him was I had designed the early version of OpenCAD and I had this control panel that was all set up with a joystick and some buttons. And I was like, I really want to add a trackball and I really want to add a spinner. But at the time when I was looking around on Amazon and eBay and all these other sources, I couldn't find anything that I wanted to put in there. I'm like, it's got PS2 connectors going out or, some other custom connector. I was like, no, I want to put a Pi in here. I want something that's USB. And at the time, there was nothing like that. And then I started seeing some posts and a few videos from Glenn. I was like, this is perfect. I need this for OpenCAD. So I started talking to Glenn about it, and I was like, you know, maybe if I just send him one, you know, maybe he'll, you know, like the idea and, you know, want to kind of partner in a way, you know, work out how I can design something for his stuff. So I shipped him one, and it's been great. I mean, Glenn's a wonderful guy. I really like you, Glenn. You're a good fella.
Oh, I got to give the $20 back already.
Yeah. There we go. We're even.
That was quick.
Oh my goodness. No, but this is how the stuff. I mean, you're buying these cheaper than real arcades, right? You're buying these 3/4 scale arcades, and people are wanting them to do things that regular arcades can do, or maybe they can't. Or maybe you can do it at a fraction of the price. So guys like you that are out there in the community that are building stuff, whether it's 3D printing it or just collaborating with other people, presenting a product that actually works for these devices, I think that's really cool. I think that says it all, you know, collaboration. Okay, the show's over. We can go now. No.
Yeah.
No, but John, you did want to show – you wanted to show – how you do all this stuff, right?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah, we can absolutely do that. So I'm going to pull it up here, and John's going to kind of talk over it. I could skip through. It's probably going to start from the beginning here. Do you want me to skip through all this?
That's fine, yeah.
We're going to kind of jump through his... Oh, there's your open cage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to make sure it's on there so that, you know, people that subscribe, they can see, you know, where to go with that. But go ahead.
And another thing to mention too is his videos are very professionally done as well. So he does a really good job with these.
Take notes, Glenn.
I always do.
Sorry.
I take bad notes. But I always take.
Well, here I am. This is the software that I use. It's MOI 3D, and I started using it a couple years ago. And I really wanted to teach myself how to build something that I can 3D print. So I started with, this isn't the first thing I designed, but this is the base for it. And the reason why I want to see this clip, or wanted you to see this clip, is just because it's easier to see that than if I hold it up to the camera. You know, you can't see it very well. Mm-hmm. But anyway, where the arrows are, that's where the Raspberry Pi goes at the top, and the bottom's the encoder. And you can configure this either with front buttons or without front buttons. And the sides are for expansion, so you can move from one box to another. So you can route your wires from one box to another. There's the connections for your Raspberry Pi. And then you can, you know, attach different pieces to it, which you're not going to see here. You can actually put armrests or palm rests, rather, and side rests to it to expand it such that you know, it's very comfortable to use. And this is the control panel. And this one is a little bit of cramped, but there are multiple panels that you can download. Like if you don't want all those buttons on one panel, you can put your select and start and joystick on the left. And on the right-hand side, you can have your 6 or 8 buttons. There's also an empty panel. So if you want, you could customize the panel however you want. So you aren't stuck with just what I provide. You can, you know, do whatever. Additionally, there are panels for Glenn's. I guess I should, while you have it up here, see the little notch up there? Since this video, that has actually gone down deeper. So you can use this to feed a cable out the back. So if you don't want to put a Pi in there, and let's say you want to use the Tron joystick or the spinner, you can attach that to a control panel and hook this up to a PC, and you can play Tron or, you know, whatever games you want, Afterburner, you name it. You could play it connected up to your PC and, you know, not put a Pi in here. So it's really customizable. It's however you want to build the unit. There are cover plates that you can put on the right-hand side or left-hand side. There's also a USB out, so if you want to put in a USB female connector where you can connect an external joystick or a keyboard, you know, if you're going in setting up MAME or what have you, you can plug, you can configure it however you want.
You know, John, watching this and seeing how this is, I'm going to pause this real quick, and then I'm going to come back to us for just a second here. What I think is I got an idea of doing this because, Glenn, you just brought out those Tron joysticks, right? And so right now, the way it works is you have to take out the joysticks in order to make them work with the Legends cabinet. But if John builds extensions for the Legends that slide down the side and you mount the Tron joysticks in there, you can actually wire them into it and leave them connected at all times. I'm being serious here. You could slide, John, you could make something that slides right over, because it overhangs a little bit, that lips on there. And you could have those flight yokes all the time hooked up, wired into the control panel, so you could play either games or you could play with the flight sticks.
Exactly.
So now I get the $20.
You do. That's the beauty of that thing. It's modular. You know, you can make all these kind of changes to it. You can use it for all these different configurations, or even, like I said, a Pi, a PC, as a controller, as a whole inclusive device. It's just very, very well thought out and modifiable.
I guess I don't get $20. He already did it.
Of course he did. I was just waiting for him to come up with it.
That's sweet. That's exactly what I was thinking, where it just sits on the you attach it to it to where you're not disconnecting and reconnecting it. Because I haven't installed Glenn's yet, and I want to, but I want to leave it up all the time for certain games. I mean, that's
it.
Well, the good thing about it is you can put in your Player 2 spot now with the firmware.
True, true. Now, P-Dubs asked in the chat room, and this is for John, if somebody wants to get started inside of 3D printing and wants to try to venture out, maybe to download your files and do it, what is a good 3D printer to start off with? Is there one that you could kind of share, maybe put in a link or maybe do a video on later if you can't do it off the top of your head?
I actually have a couple of videos. They're not very good. It was back when I was not very good at video editing at all. Not that I'm any good now, but it was really bad back then. But I use a FlashForge Creator Pro. I'm not necessarily recommending that at this point because it is a printer that's probably about 2.5 years old.
Right, and a lot happens in that time frame, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I'm not one to go out and buy one, you know, just because, you know, so I don't have a more recent printer to recommend to you at this point. But, you know, check around, do some searches on YouTube and find one that looks pretty good to you at a good price. Some of the things to look for are, do you want a single extruder or a dual extruder? I got a dual extruder and I thought, yeah, I'm going to be using the heck out of that. Well, in reality, I only use pretty much one nozzle. So basically what I mean is there's actually two locations where the filament feeds down into the printer and you can print in, you know, green or blue or what have you. But I use that very rarely. In fact, I've only used it twice. So do you need a dual extruder? Probably not. So that cuts the price down quite a bit if you look at it that way. And PLA is rather cheap, like, to print out one of these bases. I could probably print 2.25 of these bases. Let me hold it up here so you can see it. It takes a little while to print. It takes probably about 15 to 17 hours or so for just this base. So it does take a while, but it is thick, it's sturdy, and should be able to hold your controls together very well.
Now, how hard is it for somebody that's never done 3D printing, how hard is it for them to pick up? I mean, Glenn's laughing. I know Glenn said about his is all spaghetti.
I'll let Glenn answer this one.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, the printer, it does depend on the printer. I have a i3 Mega, which is a very good printer. It's got a good base on it, but mine just came warped. You know, when I've been dealing with the company to get a new base, and every time they send it, it was worse and worse and worse. So if you don't have a good base, it's not perfectly flat, what happens is your printer will start printing and it's either going to lift or just start misprinting. So if you get a printer and there's no problem with your base, usually you'll be fine because you can go right to Thingiverse, literally just download it, slice it, and it does the work. The real beauty of 3D printing is something I am not good at and John is getting pretty good at, is the designing. You want to be able to actually design something and then make it. It's fine to bring it down and print it, but it's always better to, you need something, you make it and print it. So I will say that printers in the past 2 years, mine's about 2 years old, actually mine is 2 years old as of beginning of this month, the technology has gotten a lot better. So it's getting cheaper with better components, like anything. So the printers today are a little bit more forgiving, but it does come down to, if you get something that's not perfectly calibrated, it doesn't matter how good you are. If it's not calibrated, your printout's going to be horrible. Your first layer base is where everything's going to be based off of. And if that's not right, it's going to be, it's going to be a mess.
That's true.
But it's, I tell you, it's very fun, Steve. I tell you, when you see this thing, you first put it on, you come back in 5 minutes, you come back in an hour, you come back sometimes in 24 hours, and you just see that there was nothing there before, and then just see this thing slowly get created there. I mean, it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And
first
you'd be surprised.
Weeks, I just kept staring at it going, this is amazing.
Yeah. You hear that sound. And you'd be surprised how small the dots it makes. That's why it takes so long. You said it takes about, 8 hours, you were saying, or 14 hours?
17.
To print that 14. Base. The dots there are literally like a period of a pen. I mean, they're really tiny. And it's got to build that up all the way around. And then it depends on how much, what they call infill, you want to use. So when you're building something, you could do 100% infill, which is going to make it obviously very solid, but also cost more because using all the filament and time's going to go up. It's got to make every single spot. If you do maybe a 50% infill, you could have part of that be air and it makes like a structure inside, like honeycombs, to use up less filament and save time. You could be a cheap sucker like me and do like 5% and then it just falls apart the entire time. But there's a lot of things that go on with it. I think though, the other thing too is you have to have what's called a slicer. And when you download something from Thingiverse or create something yourself, the slicer is actually the program that takes that model and does what it says. It slices it into little pieces that the printer will then print it out. And some slicers are easy to use and they cost a lot of money. And some are free that you'd rather strangle yourself than use. So you kind of find that happy medium. I think some printers, maybe John can tell me here, I think some printers these days come with a fairly decent slicer. Mine did not. Mine was got to find your own, and it's just not been the best of experiences with that.
My printer came with one. Actually, no, it came with a freeware one, and then shortly after I received it, they did release something called FlashPrint. And I tell you what, I have not needed any other slicer. It does everything I need it to, and it matter of fact, it does some things that I really didn't know I needed, and it was there. It was a pretty cool option, like being able to slice a large model into smaller pieces so you can, you know, build something larger than the actual size of the bed. So that is another thing to look at is take a look at the type of things that you're going to want to print and make sure that the printer that you decide on has a bed large enough to print that. Like, I believe this, and I'll have to look at the website because I can't remember. But I think it's like 8.5 by 9 inches bed on my particular printer. So you want to pick one. If you want to print these up, you want to make sure that the bed size on the 3D printer is large enough to be able to print the dimensions of the object that you're wanting to print.
So how
and think on top of what he just said there is there are printers that like mine's a, I think a 220 by 220 by 210 size building. So some people go, I'm going to buy the 500 by 500. Then it comes to your house. They're like, holy, it's huge.
It's huge.
So you have to be careful of that too. You got to make sure you're not getting a printer bigger than the space you have available.
So that's how long did it take you? How long did it take you to, obviously there's some CAD design that you need to know a little bit, right? With designing the 3D elements of the box. I mean, it's not just, I guess what I'm trying to stress to people, kind of the same way I talk to people about the broadcasting stuff, is you don't just buy the equipment because you have the money if you don't know how to use it. Otherwise, you've got a $500, $600, $700 paperweight in a 3D printer. I guess what I want to stress is like what type of time are they looking at before they're even going to print anything? Like how much time does one need to do? What they buy the printer, they sit down with the instruction manual, then what? What happens?
All right. Okay, you're talking about two different things. You're talking about the design on one and then talking about just printing.
Yeah,
okay.
Just in general.
All right, for the first question about the design, I had some time off work during the holidays. It was around November to December a couple years ago. And I used a lot of time, you know, late nights and so forth, and during the day working on learning some software. And I tried several different packages. I tried SketchUp, I tried Inventor, and they didn't operate the way I would have imagined a design software should work. And that's just me, the way I think. I'm sure it's great for many other people, and I'm sure they can design rings around what I design. So, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about the software, but it just didn't work for me. So then I started looking at other places, and I saw a video that came out on MOI 3D. And I thought, well, I'll try that. So I tried it. I downloaded the demo, and I was like, okay, this works the way I think 3D design software should work. So based on that, you know, I got in contact with the developer of it and told him I was interested in it. And, you know, I asked a few questions on the forums. I spent probably a month and a half learning the basics of it to where I felt comfortable designing something that I would wind up posting. And the first one was actually a restrictor plate that you use for a joystick. So if you want to restrict the movement from an 8 to a 4-way, then, you know, you could use this plate and just screw it in on top of your existing joystick and it would restrict movement. And then there were these little adapters that you could swap out. So if you want to go from 4-way to 8-way, you don't have to take the whole control panel apart. You can just swap out the plates.
So that's a month and a half, though, without you working. That's a month and a half.
Well, part of it was vacation time. Part of it was evenings.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, it's time that you would have normally been at work. So for a person that maybe didn't have vacation time, you're looking at maybe what, 3 months?
Late nights. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 3 months of late nights. Before you're doing anything and like a restrictor plates, like those little, I mean, they're tiny.
Well, then after that, it got a lot easier. Then it was like, okay, I know the basics. I mean, it's not going to take that long to get up to speed on the software. That's how long it took me, just experimenting with different things. And, you know, most people probably pick it up a lot faster, but it wouldn't be, you know.
I'm watching Glenn's reaction to this because he's saying, you know, get easier. Most people pick it up, and Glenn's sitting there going like this.
Well, the thing is, like I'm saying, there's two different parts to it, because if you've got a decent printer and a slicer, you go right to Thingiverse, you just download something, put in the SD card, and it's going to go. That's it. Yeah. As long as your printer is calibrated, it's just going to work. You could do it within minutes. It's when you want to design your own things. And I think that's really when it comes. Yeah. When it comes to these 3D printers, I mean, it's fine printing other people's work. Printing little Darth Vaders is awesome. Or Baby Yoda. Yeah. Baby Yoda. Come on. You can make your own Baby Yodas.
That's right.
That stuff is cool. But I think the ultimate thing, especially in our hobby, is you want to be able to 3D print. There was actually a gentleman, I don't want to mention his name, but he was at a time making mini, like, Coleco clones and 3D printing them. And they were pretty amazing. I mean, he was doing really amazing things with 3D printing everything other than the electronics. That is like a big promise to the technology. As a matter of fact, I have, you know, my machines back here, a part breaks, you know, a button breaks. You can 3D print a new button. You can, a new joystick handle, all that could be done. Because you can print in PLA, which is like a plastic, actual plastic. But you can even do metal. People don't realize you can print wood. You can print metal. And, you know, so you can do a lot of different parts. You can print little Legos that you can step on in the middle of the night without having to buy real Legos.
Glenn, here's your homework assignment. I want an At Games Legends 3D printed sign that I can put behind me for the show. So... you think you can have it printed by next
week? You're not expecting me to make it.
Oh, you think you can have it printed by next week? I think that would look pretty cool. Or an arcade one-up one that we could set up here on the, you know, hang on the wall.
Well, if someone out there...
No, mister, there, you have you know how to do it.
I am the crew. I can print
I know John probably can do it. I'm talking about you.
It took me about a month and a half. I'll teach Glenn in, you know, a couple hours. Yeah.
A couple hours a day.
No.
You saw the Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's the At Games thing you're going to get. It's going to be all like, you know, like that. So I'm cool.
No, but that's really awesome. I mean, to be able to do some of this stuff. Because also, you mentioned about Raspberry Pis and whatnot. So I assume you make your own Raspberry Pi cases. I know Amazon sells them and whatnot, but I'm sure you probably make your own, right?
I've printed a few of my own, yes. Yeah. I haven't designed any of my own.
Oh, okay.
Except for this, when technically it is, you know, a Raspberry Pi case, just in an arcade format.
Right. If you go on Thingiverse, you can type in just about anything, a Raspberry Thingiverse, Pi case, like a Darth Vader Baby Yoda.
Thingiverse is where I got the arcade one-up coin buttons. So without modding the holes, somebody actually printed them for me. And they use the existing hardware inside of there. So you take the switches out and you put the, you take the button tops off so you can actually press the coin down on it. And it fits in that oval spot on my modded cabinet, but it's just a, they're 3D printed buttons. That's it. And that's on Thingiverse. Right, I think it's like $10 or something.
Right, exactly. With Thingiverse, you, you're more than welcome to download the file and print it on your own. But if you can't, like me, or not properly, you can have them print it for you for a small fee, depending on, you know, different factors. But they're usually pretty pretty inexpensive. And everyone who's gotten stuff from there has always said it's been good quality for 3D printouts.
Yeah, it worked out pretty good. So what is, John, what is the new project? I saw, you know, earlier you told me that there's a new book that you have on your website that you wanted to talk about. So I'll pull that up. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. One of the handhelds that I've been working with quite a bit recently is this RG350. And let's see.
Yeah, I'll do that first before we go to the website with it.
All right. So I put some recent mods on here. Okay. Those are the buttons. There should be, there we go. The, sticks over here. These are, they're 3D printed. It uses, I believe it was SLA, I don't remember. he just told me this morning what he used. It was a resin filament type printer. It's not using traditional PLA or ABS that I'm used to, so I'm not quite up to speed on it. But anyway, I've been working with this device for a little while, coming up with, I've got a lot of help from other people who have purchased this particular device. And, you know, they send me tips. I started out with my own tips and then they sent me tips and, you know, a lot of great people who are helping contribute to improving this web page. But on this page, you go to wagnerstechtalk.com/ was it RG350 tips, I believe. And you come here and basically at the beginning, I kind of step through, you know, when I picked up this RG350. And then there's a table of contents just down just a little bit more. There we go. And from here, you can find out a lot of things that you might be interested in, such as, you know, how do you add a TI-99/4A emulator to it or an Amiga emulator? It can run all of these different types of emulated consoles and arcade games. You can play MAME. And anyway, there's tons of information on there. There's also stuff for this modding that was added yesterday. So,
that's
all kinds
really
of stuff. If you're interested in retro handheld gaming, this might be something for you. And
the book,
also
can you
goes
get that
some...
on the book you can get on Amazon?
No, it's not a purchasable book. That
it's right
book
here.
Right
yeah,
there.
I just realized that. I'm going through it. Yeah, this is the actual book.
That's actually, yep. Wow. It's not something I sell. Like, everything I do, I pretty much provide for free. So that's it. There's also one for the Pocket Go version 2. It's not as comprehensive is what you see for the RG350, but it also goes in through, you know, how to set up Daphne, for instance, if you are interested in playing the Laserdisc games like Dragon's Lair or Space Ace on these handhelds, you can do that. What kind of micro SD cards will work with this, and I'll save you the time of watching the entire video. I put on 512 gigabytes and it worked great. So that's on both handhelds, the RG350 and the Pocket Go version 2. So yeah, I hope that information's helpful to somebody who's looking to get a handheld that they can play their favorite retro games on.
Oh, we just got a super chat from Mr. Retro Ralph.
And
thank John.
There
he
is.
Got the keys for all the emulators for the pain. Yep. So Retro Ralph, thanks, bud. The hot keys.
Thank you.
Because taking up those hot keys were a pain, so he's thanking you for them.
Hey, do me a favor, Glenn. Reread that because your internet cut out on that one.
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah.
I thought it was mine. I'm checking the router.
No. It was Glenn. He like froze for a few seconds. Say that. Read it again.
Okay. Well, we got a super chat from Mr. Retro Ralph. We got a huge thanks to John's FAQ on the RG350. He said he got the keys for all the emulators. It was a pain, and his site had all the info. He said thanks a lot to you, John.
You're very
so
welcome,
big kudos
Retro Ralph.
To you from Retro Ralph.
Awesome.
Very welcome, sir.
Yeah, I just because you know when people send in a super chat, I wanted to make sure you started to read it, and I was like, okay, Glenn, you'd like given this dramatic effect or what? And then all of a sudden, it just was like it threw it out like
perfect
timing. When you listen to it on the recording, you're gonna laugh. You're gonna know exactly what I meant by that. But no, that's really good information. That was one of the reasons, guys, we wanted to bring John on here because a lot of you guys like the mod. I am a guy. Like, if I see somebody like Ralph do it or somebody else, and I think I can do it by watching it, or I sit there and I see a guy like Ralph do it, and I sit there and he's blown up this board and blown up, I won't even attempt it. And I understand it goes with, listen, I understand it goes with the territory. I really do. But I'm more of the guy like, okay, if it's dead set easy, I'd rather just turn the machine on and play it. Like, I just remember the days of the Hackintosh, and I just have no patience for it anymore. That's why I see a lot of guys.
Some things are easier than others. I mean, I'll do it, but when it comes to like virtual pinball, I definitely want to gouge my eyes out. I know Retro Ralph.
That's why my Toy
it.
Shock is the way it is, and I won't mod it because I need a step-by-step guide that's guaranteed. I buy these parts, connect it, and it'll work, and put this monitor in it. Because otherwise, I'm not even going to attempt it because I just, it's fine
the
way it is.
It's not the hard part. It's not the hardware. It's virtual pinball software. You just want to blow
difficult.
Your brains out. Another friend of mine, Dwayne Ringo, helped me make that small pinball machine. And he's been helping me for a while. And I had it working years ago. Years ago, I had it working. And then XP is gone. And 7 and 10 has come out. And it doesn't work now. And I've tried. And I've tried. And I've tried. And I've tried. And I've tried, and I've given up.
Have you tried?
I've given up.
Have you tried?
I gave up before I tried.
I tried as well. That's about a year ago. I was messing around with VPN software. And had the large 32-inch screen and my wife's old laptop and was putting this thing together, and it was a nightmare. I wound up, fortunately, the monitor died on me. So I had to throw the monitor out, and that was my excuse not to pick it up again.
Well, see, that's kind of why I didn't do it. I seen a couple guys like Ralph and Detroit Love burn out monitors. I've seen them burn out the adapter thingies, and it's not like throwing a RetroPie.
You are not a modder until you get boost. You get boost screen. Boost smoked in the face. You're not a modder until you get shocked.
Yeah.
Burned,
I've done that.
Hell, toxic smoke. Until you've done that, you're not a modder.
I'm not a modder. I'll be the first to admit it. Like, I've modded the arcade one up and put a Raspberry Pi in it, but it was because it was laid out step by step. I mean, you can't screw it up if you buy the right parts and you follow the instructions, right? It's like anything. That's you true. Can't screw it up.
Sometimes I find a way.
Well, I was just going to say, now, if I talk to Michael Mann or Stevie Richard, he'll probably argue that point. He'll be like, no. I'm the 3%. I could follow the instructions and I'll get bum buttons. And he did. He got bum buttons. Like, I'm like, just order the buttons. I'll be fine. Half of them didn't work. He got them from where he bought them. So I was kind of like, I felt so bad for the guy because I'm like, yeah, he said it. I could follow the instructions and still something goes wrong. So I shouldn't say that. But no, I don't consider myself a modder. If you've got everything laid out, I'll try to follow it unless it looks like something like, Glenn, you're going to pull your hair out. Forget it.
That's why I'm wearing the hat, bud. That's why I'm wearing the hat. Virtual pinball did it to me. And it's a shame because, you know, you would think pinball would be so much easier, but you got to install the VP software. Then you got to get the DMD software. Then you got to get the front end software. Then you need to get the tables. Then you got the table ROMs. Then you got to go get a gun. You got to put it in your mouth. You got to pull the trigger. Because you just can't take it anymore. You can't take it anymore. So, like in coin ops, you know, you have Pinball FX 2 and 3, and those are really good.
Yeah,
they're really good, and I enjoy them. But they're still not a true recreation where VP Virtual Pin MAME is. but they're fun enough where I'm like, I'm fine with that. Cause I really have given up on actual virtual pinball. It's just too much of a headache.
I've got a good friend he's got one in his house that he purchased the cabinet, and it was all pretty much ready for him to go. He just had to load up his games and stuff. And man, I'm envious. I mean, to have a working VPN and, you know, all that, it's pretty cool. I haven't seen it personally, but he's told me a lot about it.
So there's this guy.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say, there's this guy that Angel was talking about, and that somebody messaged me before we should have him on the show. His name is Bobby Vu, V-U, I guess. He made cool, I said, introduce us. I said, I don't know the guy, but I'm sure Glenn would be happy. He modded some virtual pinballs and things like that that does a really good job. So, I mean, hey, anything people can learn from him.
He's in a lot of the forums. He does a lot of things, Bobby. So, yeah, he's got quite a few out there. And, again, I take my hat off to these guys. I mean, I guess once get it working, just clone that drive and don't make any changes.
That's what I used to do with the Hackintoshes. And you learn what kecks to use and what not to use and what sound drivers to use. But
my other problem that I have is that, you know, I'm glad John makes these books, is you figure it out. I'll spend a month, I figure it out, get everything working great. Then I'm on to the next project. And then I come back in like a year. I'm like, oh man, how did I do that? I did it. How did I do it? And I don't remember. So when you go to someone like Wagner's page where the document's there and he keeps it updated, as Steve, as you know, because you can have a tutorial that's a piece of cake, but it's out of date and then it doesn't work. And I found a couple tutorials on virtual pinball. Actually, one was from Game Room Solutions, my nemesis name. And I tried to follow it to the letter, and it didn't work. It was stuff missing. Again, it was a video a year or two old, but I wish someone would make a new video, because people would definitely like to make their own pinball machines. I know I would.
Yeah,
and,
I would too.
The tutorials out there right now, none of them work. They're all out of date.
Mm-hmm. And it's usually a lot of these guys, like I've noticed with the coin ops people, they know a lot, but they're not the type of people that get on video and that talk. They could probably document things. So that's probably why a lot of tutorials aren't done. But we're going to have to wrap up the main show, and you guys want to stick around for post show. If you got questions for John, you could feel free to call in. But John, we really appreciate you jumping on here. Guys, check out John
Wagner.
Thank
you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Go to wagnerstechtalk.com. You can also subscribe to him on YouTube. Anywhere else, John?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. Well, I do have a Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Wagner's Tech Talk. So you can find me in a lot of places.
So you don't have a Santa's list of stuff like Glenn does? I mean, I'd be here all night if I had to go through all that.
I don't have a Facebook group for RG350 Pocket Go 2. I'm just kidding.
Oh, look at this.
No, just the one. Oh, yeah.
He's over here driving.
I didn't really like that one.
Even though he's using the steering wheel backwards. But we also have Mr. Mickey Mouse himself paying homage to Doug, who's down in Florida. So
hope he's having a good time. Hope he's having a good time down there. We miss him, but you know what? He's got Baby Yoda probably all over the place down there, and he's building his own lightsaber.
Oh,
so, No.
It's not Baby Yoda. It's the child. Say it right.
The child.
It's not.
Is
Baby
it called
Yoda.
The child?
It's
I was always
called
it was Baby Yoda.
Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back.
Every package that you look at now that's officially marked, it's called the child. It's not called Baby Yoda.
Wow. We need to start a petition going. I'm putting my foot in the sand right here. On Dagobah, right here, and I'm still calling it Baby Yoda.
Okay.
Live Baby Yoda.
Oh, here we go. We've got a 3D printed Baby Yoda, or the child. Oh, Glenn's getting up now too.
This one hadn't been painted yet.
That's all right. That's a start. Well, Glenn's is probably hollow.
Hopefully, no. I just hope Doug can make one. This is one of my prized possessions. My Darth Vader lightsaber.
Oh yes, is that the Black Series?
That's cool.
You know what? This I've had a long time. I think it is the Black Series.
That's the one I have on my shelf behind.
It's really good.
I love it. That's when I do all my when I go out onto troops, as John knows from being in the 50 what is it the 501 501st as they call it. When we went out and did parades and things like that, I always carried the Black Series saber because it was the awesomest at night, lit up really really good. So. But we've got Darth Glenn in the house with his Mickey Mouse ears, and he looks very scary to most. But you guys can check out Glenn. Go to youtube.com/Glenn's Retro Show and everywhere else.
Or just go on the internet. It's everywhere.
Just go everywhere.
Just go on the internet, and I'm going to pop up somewhere.
Yes. So if you guys downloaded the audio podcast of the show, you definitely want to go back and watch the video to see Darth Glenn. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Who do we have, Glenn? Who do we have next week that's on the show? Since you've been doing all the scheduling, it's been,
you know what?
Been
hold
great,
on,
actually.
Let's do a quick check. That's another thing too. And we have quite a few people lined up, and I got to check because we have quite a few people. So next week,
yeah, we're booked.
We have
April.
Yes. Next week, let's see. What is today? It's 28th. Oh, Travis.
We've got Travis.
Travis MCP will be on next week.
So
and he's actually
cool.
In the chat room. Hey, what's up, Travis? We'll see you next week, bud.
So that's what you get to look forward to next week. We've got Travis. It'll be a great time. So, guys, make sure you stick around here for post-show, those that are watching live. If not, we'll see you next week here on the Retro Buzz.